Thank you, Jesus. Well, this morning in Sunday school, Pam, I was like, yes, that was a scripture that she shared, 1 John chapter 3, and I'm going to share it just so that I don't forget to share this, but this was, a couple of words. Aren't you glad when you're reading scripture and then all of a sudden like a couple of words just pop up, like they just pop up and get your attention? 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, this is not on our notes, as far as my notes, but if you don't mind, Joe, please, 1 John chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 2 and 3, but this was a passage that Pam was teaching this morning, and just about, you know, being Christians, people who love Jesus and follow Jesus and serve Jesus because Jesus is their Savior. But here it says, 1 John 3, verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does, or let me read that. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Wouldn't it be cool if God just sent us postcards? You know, hey, can't wait till you come here. You know, I'll send my son there. It's that way you could actually see what it actually looks like. You know, I mean, in an actual picture, of course, we can read scripture and revelation of what heaven's going to look like, but just where the Lord is. So anyway, verse 3 says, and everyone say everyone, who has this hope in him, capital H, in the Lord, purifies himself just as he is pure. Purifies himself. That word purifies just popped up off that sheet of paper. When we have this hope in him, in the Lord, this sets us apart. This cleans us. This purifies us. Purifies himself just as he is pure. So there's something about having hope in the Lord. Something about having hope in God. We've been talking about this whole month. Hope in the Lord. Hope in Jesus. And when we have this hope in him, this purifies. This does something great. This does something spiritually to us that the naked eye cannot see if you have hope in him. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for what you have in store for us today, this morning, what you've already been doing, Holy Spirit. Thank you. I pray that you'll continue to do this in Jesus' name. Amen. So my first slide, hope in God's word. Hope is defined in dictionary.com as a feeling of trust, an expectation, a desire for a certain thing to happen. Maybe like your stomachs are hoping to have some good food here in a little bit. But let me not encourage you to just focus on your stomach, but focus on what the Spirit of God wants you to hear this morning. Hope, it's a feeling of trust or expectation. Merriam-Webster defines hope as to cherish a desire with anticipation, to want something to happen and to be true. My first passage is Titus chapter 2, verse 11. And we find in Titus about this hope that we have in Jesus. It is a great hope. It's not just an ordinary hope. It's a blessed hope. Starting in verse 11, it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Aren't you glad that you recognize that Jesus died on the cross for your sin and that through him we can have eternal life? Aren't you glad that you came to understand that? There are people still today with our technology that don't even know about John 3:16. They might remember John 3:16 at a football game or at a hockey game because somebody had a poster and it said John 3:16. But they had no idea the significance of that verse. There are people who don't even, if you were to throw them a Bible, not throw them, but give them a Bible and tell them to go to John 3:16, they wouldn't know where to go. Maybe because of a certain book, they'll go to the front, the table of contents, they'll try to find John. But how will they know where John 3:16 is, let alone what does it actually say? So there are people that have no idea, but that this grace that God has bestowed on us or brought to us, that his salvation has appeared to all men, verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, right here, right now, today. Verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. There's a hope that Jesus is returning. I pray that you're hoping he's returning for you and that you are ready. Just like many of you, you got ready to come to church today. I'm glad you didn't come in your robe and, you know, slippers and your hair not done and your, you know, dragging breath. I'm glad that you didn't do that. You came prepared to come to church, to God's house. But how many of you are preparing for when the Lord Jesus comes? You see, you have hope. If you saw it, why would you hope in it? You are hoping for something that you don't see. You have not yet seen. That's why you have hope in that. And then verse 14, who gave himself, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. He gave himself for you that he might redeem us. There's another word that popped up when I was studying. That redeemed us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. You're a believer in Jesus Christ. You're his own special people. You're a peculiar people. His chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You might think, well, that no wonder people say I'm weird. Yeah, you're weird because of Jesus, because he's your Savior, his own special people, zealous for good works. So that word hope in the Greek is elpis, and it means to anticipate with pleasure, have confidence in. I guess dictionary.com and Merriam-Webster kind of was correct in defining what hope is. Again, our hope is in God, in his plan, in his purpose, and especially in his word. You know, hoping in his word, you'll never be disappointed. Again, if you're looking at your watch, you're probably thinking, oh, I thought we'd be out by now. Well, yeah, don't hope in Rick. Hope in Jesus Christ. Hope in God's word. There's a statement that Paul made in Romans chapter 1 declaring that Paul's allegiance to the calling of God on his life. I pray that you are having this hope in what God has called you to. To walk with him in holiness, to live with him, to go to a place that Jesus has prepared for you, I mentioned a couple weeks ago. And so Paul says this in Romans chapter 1, verse 13. He says, now I don't want you to be unaware or ignorant, brothers and sisters, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among other Gentiles. I'm a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. My first point, and time is slipping, so I'm going to give you my 3 points right away. Hope in, yeah, it's kind of funny. Hope in the power of God's word. Hope in God's living word. And hope in God's redeeming word. Having our hope in God's word, you will not be disappointed. Far too often, people are mistaken at placing their hope in something else or even within themselves. And they place their hope mistakenly on something that is not eternal, something that doesn't last. You might be placing hope on that Ford out there you got or that Chevy out there. You know, you can use the acronyms and find out what you're really going to fix only on Ford. What? Found on road dead. Yeah, Ford. Yeah, don't put your hope in that metal out there that got you here. Hope in Jesus Christ. Hope in God's word. Heaven and earth will pass away, God says, but my word will never pass away. My word will never be voided. My word will never disappoint you. A lot of people, the word is like a mirror. The word is like a mirror. Go ahead and whistle now, whoever whistled. Go ahead. The word is like a mirror. What do you see in that mirror, ma'am, besides yourself?
Sin.
The word is like that. It will cause, it'll show what's in your life. It'll show that there's sin. It'll show that there is a need for something. I mean, you know, I'm not sure how many of you look in the mirror. Some of you, there's no need to look in the mirror. I already know who I look like. But there's some of you that, you know, you like to make sure that, you know, you you'd like to remove something off that mirror. You use the mirror to show and reflect. The Word of God will show the sin in your life. The Word of God will show that there's something wrong in your life if you're looking to the Word. The Word is what saves people. My kindness, my kind gestures don't save people. Your money don't save people. You won't find anywhere in Scripture where people's words, acts of kindness, or money saves people. Matter of fact, Jesus is the one who saves people. It's Him who is the living Word. God's Word reveals my sin and directs me to a Savior who lived and died for me. God raised Him from the dead. So it's not the what I should hope for. It's in the who I should hope for and place my hope in. Now, when I said at the very beginning, hope in God's Word, that may not sound like it's a who to you. That may sound like it's a what. But in John, we'll go to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. John tells us that the Word of God is Jesus Himself. It says, in the beginning was the capital W Word, and the capital W Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. This is why we can't be mistaken that something can replace the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God is living. And here we find that the Word of God is Jesus Himself. He is the living Word of God. And many times people are mistaken because they place their hope for salvation in something other than Jesus, in something other than God's Word. It might be a meme. Listen, a meme, some post on a billboard somewhere or on a social media. It might, just tickle your fancy. It might just make you feel all warm inside. But that doesn't save you. God's Word saves you. And even the kindness of loving gestures from someone, that doesn't save people. I believe it was St. Francis of Assisi who said, share the gospel, use words if necessary. And I'm thinking, that's good. And I even used that in a sermon one time, but as I thought about it over time, I thought, wait a minute, it's Jesus who saves people. It's Jesus. Jesus is the good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news, and the good news points us to Jesus. Jesus saves. He even said He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come unto the Father except through Him. So it's not my money. It's not your kind gestures. It's not even invitations. I'm getting to this, and so if I can get a couple of ushers to come on down, and I want to challenge the people of the church. Ushers, come down, please, if you don't mind. If we run out, I have some more here, but try to give one to each person. I want to ask you that you invite someone to our service next week, Palm Sunday. I ask that you invite. Your invitation doesn't save them, but your invitation will hopefully and prayerfully, I hope, I'm placing my hope in that God is already working on the people's hearts, but your invitation will get them here. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that will be preached and shared that will convict them. It will be, this is what will happen when they come. They'll see the mirror. They will hear the Word of God, which is the mirror, and they will hear or see that there is sin in their life. They are lost without Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the fact that Jesus is God's Son and that God gave His Son so that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. They will hear that, and they will look at the Word, either up on the screen or on their Bibles, and they'll see that there is sin in their life. And it's the Word of God that will convict them. I think it's Psalm 19:7 says that God's law, God's Word, converts the soul, restores the soul. It's God's Word that cuts us. It's God's Word that shows us that we need a change, that there's something wrong in our lives. It's God's word that will save. And so I ask that you invite someone. If you want more than one car, we'll be glad to give you more than one. But we want to give you the opportunity to play a part in saying, hey, and listen, if you're scared, don't just throw them the card and run away. No, you can tell them your name. And you could say, hey, I really want to, you need some more? Okay. And just say, I would really like to invite you to come to our service. And you know what? You can stick around and have dinner with us. So this is why we say dinner on the ground. You bring enough for your family and extra. Years ago, I messed up because I'm a Yankee. So I said, that's lunch. That's not dinner. Dinner's in the evening. No, you know, it's lunch. So I made the mistake of saying to people, bring lunch. And someone just brought a couple of hot dogs. That's not enough for your family and more for sharing. And so I want to just take this few moments to just explain. You bring enough dinner. Dinner is, you got salad, you got main course, you got some sides, and you got dessert. Maybe you have some drinks or whatever, you know? And so that's dinner. So you bring enough for your family, and if it's a family of two, then okay, your family for two. Whatever you would eat as a family for dinner. You bring enough for your family and some extra for others to share. And so I just wanted to take a moment to clarify that, because how many of you have never been to a dinner on the ground here at Hidden Treasures Assembly? Raise your hand. You've never been to a dinner on the ground? Okay, a couple of hands raised. All right, good. All right, so no, most of you, I was wondering how many would actually remember, because we haven't done one in a while. And so, but going back to my second point, we always have a benefit to hope and trust in God. Slide 2. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope," something that is alive. It's not dead. It's not old school. It's not bell bottoms. Of course, Shannon told me that bell bottoms is coming back, and I'm like, no, no. God and His Word. It's not old school. It's not it's not played out. It's not that was just so 80s. No, God's Word is not like that. So to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. How many of you are excited about an inheritance from God? Listen, an inheritance from God is not a gift from Dollar Tree. Okay? It's not cheap. It's not something that'll break. It's not something that'll expire or rot or ruin. This is an inheritance, the inheritance of incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You're taking notes, write down, reserved in heaven real big for me, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the past time. So again, my second point is hope in God's living word. So I'm hoping in God's word. There is power in that word because he spoke it. It's written, it's written, but it's his word, and there's power, and it is alive. It is living and powerful and active, able to convict, able to reveal in my life what is wrong. And even if, there's nothing wrong. There is something wrong. Able to reveal what is wrong, what needs to change. His word is living, able to heal. I'm not sure how many of you are just encouraged or just excited because you read a scripture in God's word and it just lifts up your head. It just causes you, reminds you, I'm a child of the Most High God. I am not forgotten. I am His special people. A little peculiar, but I'm His special people. I am a royal priesthood. God's word is effective to produce a good work in you. So this mirror helps us to understand what the word reveals in us. If it'll reveal the sin that it infects us, it will reveal the sin that it infects you and causes you to see there's unrighteousness. I shared this verse to a couple of men, some of the men that went on a trip this weekend. And I shared that first James chapter 1, verse 20. The wrath of man is not the righteousness of God. The wrath of man is not, so if there is wrath coming from me, it's not coming from God. It's coming from the flesh, so that's unrighteousness. So when I found that verse, I chose to memorize it because I had an issue that the Lord was showing me. I had an issue. Of course, my wife was showing me too, but I had an issue. She was telling me I had an issue with my anger. And so I'm glad that I found that scripture. So now when I read that scripture, or when that scripture comes to my remembrance, when the Holy Spirit brings it to my remembrance, I'm encouraged. It's something about God's word. It's living. God's word will reveal to you that sin will separate you from God. It'll separate you from God. From God, because He is holy. And if you're separated from God today, listen, there is doom that awaits you. That's not Rick who says this. That's what God's word says. If you find that there is sin, it separates you from God. And if you are separated from God, God has done the greatest thing that anyone can ever do. And God sent His Son that whoever believes in Jesus would not perish but have everlasting life. You see how God is extended to you? God's love is extended to you? That He's provided a way so that you wouldn't see doom, experience doom, but that you would be with Him for all of eternity? Because He sent His Son. My last point, slide three. I think I said this already. Yeah. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come unto the Father except through me. Now, He either had to be the truth in saying this, or He was a liar. I'm sorry, but my Jesus is not a big fat liar. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. My last point is hope in God's redeeming word. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. It says that He gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify Himself for His own special people, zealous for good works. Redeem means to compensate for the faults or bad aspects of something. Jesus redeemed you because of the false, because of the lying, because of the faults in you, because of the bad aspects of your life, of your mouth, of your attitude, of your mind, to compensate for the defects. I'm not sure how many of you feel like you're a defect today. But you can come to Jesus Christ and He's redeemed you. From the curse of the law, He's redeemed you. He can redeem you if you surrender to Him, no longer being a defect, but being delivered, set free, made whole, pure, white as snow. That when God looks upon you, He sees His Son, and you are righteous because we're clothed in the righteousness that Jesus provides. The word purify means to make clean. This is where John 3, that I read earlier, John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, where it's said about being pure and cleansing. This is what Jesus, hoping in God's word, hoping in Jesus, purifies us, makes us clean, separates us from the world. We are His people, and our hope is in Him. I like using coupons, and I'm not ashamed to say it, so don't judge me. But there have been times where I've been let down and felt disappointed and ashamed because I overlooked that little small date and it expired. Nope, sir, sorry, got to pay the full price of that. Nope, not a buy one, get one, expired. And I felt that shame. I'm so thankful that I will not feel that shame. I will not feel that shame because my hope is in Jesus, because my hope is in God. That God will say, you missed the small print. That expired a couple of years ago. God will not do you like that. I don't have to worry about when Jesus, that He redeemed us, that He purified us, and that there's an expiration date. Sorry, Rick, but that was a long time ago. Sorry, Rick, but that was in the 2000s. That's not valid anymore. My God is valid all the time. Jesus, in the work that He paid on the cross for you and for me, it is valid for eternity. Slide 4. Because God doesn't mess up. Not sure if you see the tattoo, but it's supposed to be no regrets, and it's no regrets. No regrets. I hope He didn't pay for that. But God doesn't fail. For you ladies, I'm not sure. I hope and pray that this never happens to you when you go to the hairdresser. But how many of you ladies can say that was a big fail right there? Poor lady, she's probably crying. Woo, my hair. God doesn't fail. So this is why we can put our hope in Him and in His Word, because His Word doesn't fail. I place all my hope in Jesus, who is redeeming. My last slide. Psalm 19:7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting or restoring the soul. The testimonies of the Lord is sure, making the wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." Look at the words that I'm highlighting here. "The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your reward, your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." When you place your hope in God's word, there is great reward for you. You and I should find ourselves every day, today, placing our hope and trust in God's powerful, living, and redeeming word, because there is great reward. Slide 6. And this is a prayer. I know we had altar call, and I'm going to ask Joe to play some altar call music. But if you would like to pray this prayer, I learned something this weekend, and I'm going over time. I learned something this weekend. I've heard this word declaration. We mentioned it. We had Caleb standing up here and causing us to make a declaration in our giving to the Lord. But that word declaration, the Lord pointed some things in my life that I had not declared. Words had not come out of my mouth with the thought of I am declaring, I am announcing, I am speaking, because of what God's word says. I am speaking with authority, so I'm declaring some things. Can I ask you, before you leave today, if you see fit, that you would pray that prayer, that you would declare that to God. God, help me to remember to stand on your word. When I have done all that your word has told me to do, give me the strength to continue to stand. Amen. Go ahead and, Joe, play that altar call video. And God, I just come to you, Lord, and I thank you for your word, your living word. I thank you, Father, for what you've already done in the service this morning. And I pray, Father, that you continue to speak, Holy Spirit. Touch the hearts of those that have not responded, that they will respond before they leave God's house today. God, I thank you that in you, oh God, Lord, that we can place our hope and trust in. In your word, we can place our hope and trust in. And there's great reward when we do so, Father. We give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name.